Some of you will remember that a few years ago they brought the wall to Johnson City, and not the one that I'm sure that song was about, because that's the bigger wall, but they had the wall that traveled and it came to Johnson City, and I had the privilege of going down to Interstate 40 at the it's on down past Bull's Gap exit, that next one down there. Anyway, and that's where all the motorcycles went to bring the wall back into Johnson City. And there must have been, gosh, I'd say 500 or 600, maybe 1,000. I don't know. It was a lot of motorcycles that went down there. And we just flooded the interstate coming back up. And when we came off of the interstate there at Bull's Gap exit heading toward Greenville, it was so moving. People were in cars standing out alongside the road with their flags all the way to Greenville. I'm not exaggerating. When we got into Greenville, they had flags. They had boom trucks with flags hanging out over the road. I'd love to do it again just for the awesomeness of that feeling, showing how people love this country. When we came into Jonesboro, and they had the big flags just out everywhere with boom trucks and everything. It was awesome, and people just lined the roads all the way into Johnson City. We got a wonderful country to live in, folks. We do. And I know we have our problems. I know that. But, buddy, we have a good country. Compared to a lot of other countries, God has really blessed us, and I just hope and pray that we realize how blessed we are. I do, because we really are blessed. Just a second. Need to get a little extra, less light on that screen back there, because during the sermon, I have Rick's going to do something. In your Bibles, turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And if you don't have your Bible, I'd say Rick will have it on the screen. This is a very popular psalm. I've had a lot of people say, I just love Psalm 19. And if you don't know exactly what's in it yet and you hear it today, I hope and pray that it becomes one of your favorite psalms also. Of course, I guess the favorite psalm of most people that we would all remember is Psalm 23. But there's so much in the psalms that we need to learn, because psalms has to do with your relationship with God. Now, the next book over, which is Proverbs, has to do with your relationship with man. And I just thought about that one day, and I thought, man, it's so good that Psalms comes in before Proverbs. Because if your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with man can't be right. So it's good that we get our relationship with God right. And this is one of my favorites, and I would like to read it with you, if you would just follow me down through here, and let's read it together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a wonderful psalm. And we're going to try to tear it down just a little bit and go into it verse by verse. And we're going to talk about how God reveals himself. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. God, you've already blessed us. I want to thank you for the song the choir sang. I want to thank you for the song that John sang. I want to thank you for the Sunday school teachers this morning and the word that was shared. And God, I just pray that right now, that we relax in your arms and give you the utmost attention, because you're getting ready to share a message with us from your word. And we praise you for it. And we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and your awesome Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I can understand how a man could look at the earth and be an atheist. But I cannot understand how a man could look at the heavens and say, I don't believe in God." Abraham Lincoln was a smart man. You see, Psalm 19 gives us a look at the heavens. Now, there's two parts of this psalm. The first part, we're going to look at the heavens, and the second part, we're going to look at his word. And so as we get into it, let's try to keep our minds focused on where we are. Now, creation, and this has nothing to do with tree hugging or saving the whales or anything, not a thing. But creation is a witness to God, plain and simple. It's a witness to God. And if I ever say from this pulpit that I was up on the mountain and looked out over the mountains of eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, and it took my breath how God had created that, and it reminded me that God was still on the throne, don't say he's a tree hugger and a whale saver. I'm just a word believer. Amen? Because creation does speak to man. God intended it to be so. And so is everything he reveals in his word. That's why we ought to love his word as much or more than we do him speaking to us through his creation. And I do believe it's good to go out and enjoy what God has created. He did create this old earth. He created it in its original state. And then we found out on Wednesday night, and I know for you who've been coming, that this is something we've had a lot of good times with, and how he created it. And I know some don't totally agree with what I taught on Wednesday night, but it's okay if you don't totally agree. I told you it didn't matter. It's just that that's where we went with it. But I do know that God created the earth, and I do know that he created everything in it. I do know that he created everything outside of it. He is the creator. He created it all. And so creation is a witness to God. Now, in saying that, he's a witness to us in worlds, but he's also a witness to us in words. I love his word, don't you? I can go out and look at that and appreciate the moment and remembering that God created all of that. But I get into his word, and I love his word. I love how his word comes alive in me. How infinite is the universe when we look into it. But how infallible is the word of God in our lives. It never makes an error in our lives. It's always correct. It's always true. It's always righteous. God has revealed himself and what he has done. By us looking out, we see what he has done, but he also reveals himself by what is written in the Word of God. That's why we try our dead level best to get everybody to reading the Word. Read and study the Word, because it will come alive in you and you'll see things that you've never seen before. And when you do, you can say, wow. Just like going up on the top of Roan Mountain and looking out over all those mountains in western North Carolina, and you say, wow, look at that. That's absolutely gorgeous. Well, when you get into the Word of God and He opens up that view for you, and you see those mountains, you see that ocean, you see that sunrise, you see all of that, I'm telling you, folks, it will absolutely boggle your mind as to what God has done. Now let's break these verses down and just get a little deeper in the water here, okay? Because we see that God's revelation of Himself, first of all, in this, in verse 1, is in the stars. It's in the skies. It's in the universe that we look up and see. And it's always good to look up. Now, David, when he wrote this, he didn't have a telescope. He didn't have a whole lot of knowledge of astronomy. In fact, his astronomy was very primitive. But there was something about him. He knew something of what God had said, and he knew that what God had said was true. And when he wrote this, when he looked out, I don't think he had to see words written on the stars. I don't think he had to see words written on the moon. I don't think he had to see a man in the moon. I don't think he had to see any things that we talk about in our life. But what I do see is when he looked out and he saw the awesomeness of this, he knew who created it, and it spoke to him. And when you know who created everything that you see with the eyes He gave you, you're going to say, wow, that's good. I know God created that. And then it's going to make some changes in your life. Because when you look out and see that, according to verse 1, we see that everything you look at out there is an unmistakable witness to God. Unmistakable. Here's what it says. The heavens declare. We know what it means to declare, don't we? It means to make an announcement. The heavens are making an announcement. They're declaring the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. So all you got to do is look out. You don't have to look for any telltale signs about how He's going to speak to you. It's not like looking at a billboard. It's just what He created, and I assure you that He created it so that it would speak to our hearts, and it does. And it's unmistakable that He speaks to us. So let's keep looking, okay? The stars are God's oldest testament. We talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, the stars are the oldest testament that man has, because He spoke to man through the stars in heaven long before we had the actual Word written on pages. God, that's how God speaks to us. When Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, the only hope that they had when they were put out, because they couldn't go back in. A guard was placed with a flaming sword, and they could not go back in. No matter how they loved it, that was their home, and they were put out of it. They couldn't go back to it. But they had a hope. And their hope was that when they looked up, they saw what God had created. They saw the stars. They saw the moon. They saw everything that God had created. When they looked up, they knew that all the stars were named. They already knew this. And I don't know exactly what the names of the stars meant to them. I got a feeling that there was some message given there that wasn't in written word, but it was there for them. And when they looked up, there was hope for them, even though their hopes were dashed when they were put out of the Garden of Eden. And knowing that what God had said was really true, you sin and you're going to leave. It's not going to be yours to live in. I created it for you to come here and have a happy, peaceful eternity, but sin has come in and now you're out. But when God never whips His children to where He doesn't look at them and say, but let me show you something. I've got some grace here I'd like to show you. I'd like to show you that I'm always here, and I'm always here to hear what you've got to say. If you want to repent, I'm here to listen, and I'm here to forgive what you've got to say. So when they went out, they looked up and they saw what God had done. And I am sure that it was good for their hearts and souls to see this. But in verse 2, it tells us that not only does He do this for us, but He's faithful in doing it. Now, we all hopefully want to be more faithful. Don't we? We want to be more faithful to the things that God has given us to do. And I'm looking out at a people who were drawn to Liberty Fellowship Church for a reason. And I do believe that God was in it for you being here because He's given you purpose. He's given you meaning. You know this is a ministry that is capable of reaching a lot of people, and you're one of those who's trying to reach those people, and we're going to continue to do that. But I want you to know that God is the one who is faithful. If you are faithful, you give Him the credit for it. You can't make yourself faithful. But if you get into His Word and you get out and see His creation and you let Him speak to your hearts through creation and His Word, I promise you that you'll be more faithful. Because He says in verse 2, day unto day utter a speech. That means day after day, after day, after day, after day. It's kind of like the kid who gets up in the morning and says to the parents, "We're going to church today. Seems like we go all the time." Huh? And you say, "Amen, get in the car." Right? Because we're going to teach faithfulness around this house, and I want you to grow up being faithful. Don't you want your children to grow up to be faithful? And didn't you, when you have the older children, didn't you want your kids to grow up being faithful? Well, God wants us to grow up being faithful. He wants us to mature and be faithful in the things He's given us to do. So the stars are tireless in their testimony of God. Just look out there. They're there day after day, night after night. They're there. You don't have to create anything. Just look up. Amen? Now look at verse 3 through 6, because 3 through 6 tells us just a little bit more about His creation and how His creation is good to us. Now, I don't know about you, but already I'm inspired to be more faithful. Just knowing that what He created for me to view so that I could be more of a Christian than I am today. He wants us to grow in that. So He's given us that. And He says, and I show it to you day after day and night after night. It's there for you to view. But in verse 3, He starts it like this. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now think about that just a moment. You have and that song that John sang, I love that. That song, and you may have a child who lives in another state. They may be in another country, or they may be in the next county, and you never see them. They may live next door, and you never see them. You can grin. We know how that is, don't we? You know, when they're little, they want to hang around you, and you know, just want to have. But then they start growing up, and that's okay. That's part of life, isn't it? Well, except every once in a while, they could come home and say hi. Oh, I didn't know I still had a daddy and mama. It's been so long. But you may have someone in another country. You may have them in another state, another city, another county. It doesn't make any difference. The same stars you look up and God speaks to your heart are the same stars they see and He speaks to their heart. Is that what He's saying here? It's exactly what He's saying. You say, that's not preaching, is it? You're preaching about stars and moon and sun and all this stuff. And is that really good preaching? Well, you just listen. This is good preaching, folks, because He says there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. He's talking about the stars and the moon stuff here. He's talking about the things He created. They're there speaking to us. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This is the sun He's talking about. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God created the sunset just for you. God created the sunrise just for you. This witness reaches all mankind. Everybody gets their view of the sunset, and every one of them is different. I know because I do a lot of looking and a lot of shooting. I know every one of them has spoken to my heart, and I want them to speak to your heart. When he says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, he did something very special for the sun. He had a place for it to come out, and he had a place for it to go in. You say, it's just sunset and sunrise. No, it's much more than that. It's not, don't take it for granted. When you look out the window in the morning, I don't mind telling you, I get emotional when I look out the window and see the sun coming out up over my brother Tom's house. That's the east, you know, Lizbeth. I love it because it lights up, and boy, I say, this is going to be a beautiful day. And even if it's a rainy, cloudy day, the sun's up there. It's there. It comes out every day. And he set this tabernacle for it. He knew where it would rise, and he knew where it would set. You can go down to the beach in June, and the sun will rise here. You go down in July, the sun will rise here. You go down in August, the sun will rise here. Then it goes back. It's always in the east, but it's at different points. Look it up and see what I'm telling you. It's going to come out in the east, but it's going to be there. And he does that just for you. It will, when every time the sun comes up, if you ever notice that it's dark right before it comes up, right? We know that. I know I'm being real simple here for you, but I think y'all need it. The sun's coming up, right? And when it comes up and that darkness that you're standing in right now, it begins to go away. And the shadows that were there, they tend to be no more. Because you see, when God gives us the light, he takes away the shadows. And I want to make that a real point in your life, not just in the sun, but you may be under a dark cloud in your life right now, or it may be evening time or night time in your life. There may be a darkness that's in your life right now. Could I tell you that the sun will rise? The sun will shine? And when it shines, it'll take away the shadows that are in your life right now. He made it for that. So look up and enjoy everything he's made for us, because he made it so that we could understand it. So he's going to fill this whole earth with light, and he did that just for us. David watched the sun come up. I have no doubts about that. And he would do the same thing as I did. I know it doesn't say it in here that he said, wow. But I believe he looked out and saw the sun rise, and he said, wow, that's my God. And when the sun set, he said, that's my God putting it to rest. And you know what he knew? That God was so faithful that the next morning it would be right back. God is faithful. You can depend on faithfulness. That's why it's so important that we be faithful, that we see the things that God has created for us, and knowing that he's faithful to us. So God speaks to us in his creation. But in verse 7, he begins to talk about something really, 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 really important. And if you're holding one in your hand right now, just take it up and just hold it like this just for a minute. Just hold it and know that what's under your hands is every word of God that he wrote just for you. And it's like the sun coming up in the morning, taking away the shadows of your life. Every time you pick it up and open it and read it, the light shines in. It does. The light shines in, the shadows go away, and the day looks brighter, and you can honestly say, there are no dark clouds today. God's word is shining in my heart, and he's taken the shadows away. Thank God for that. In his precious word. So look at verse 7, if you will, because he goes on to say this. The law, that's the word. That's what you're holding in your hand right now. It's the law of God. It's not the law like the police. It's the law of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, perfect. Every one of us like perfection. We do. We may not be the best at it. I'm not. I'm not the best at perfection. People who are perfect drive me crazy. But here he says the law of the Lord is perfect. Why? What does it do? Oh, it's converting the soul. It's converting the soul. It's not just about a life change. It's about a soul change. And the Word of God shines into your heart and life to make a soul change. The testimony of the Lord is sure. His Word is sure. It will not let you down. I met a young lady at Walgreens just last night picking up some medicine for Kay, and I noticed her face, and she just lives a couple blocks up here, and she said, "I haven't seen you in a long time." I said, "Well, I'm still up here at the same church." I tell people that all the time now. When they say they haven't seen me, I say, "Well, that's because I'm at Liberty Fellowship and you're not there. That's probably why you don't see me," you know. But she went on to talk about the problems she was having in her life. And then I was reminded that the last time I saw her, she was talking about the problems in her life. It just brought it all back when she started talking about it. And you know what? It's the same problems. And you know why? Because the problems she was having was because of all the wrongs that were done in her life and her husband's life and the wrongs they were doing to their children. And they're all still there because they've not let the Word of God shine into their life and take those shadows away and make something real and good for their family. It's the truth, folks. Let's never let anyone think that it'll just happen. It won't happen. The sun's got to shine in and take the shadows away, because he says very plainly here that that's exactly what happens. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's what it does. I want my life to be better as a Christian, don't you? I want to be a stronger Christian. And you can't be that just mentioning a few religious quotes every now and then or getting on Facebook and saying praying. It doesn't work that way. We grow in the Lord by getting into His Word and letting Him change our lives for the good. The fear of the Lord is clean. Huh? It's clean. Enduring forever. This old life that mankind lives out here, it's a dirty life. But the Word of God is clean, and He can clean us up during forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What a psalm for us to become what He wants us to be, that He can shine His light in on our lives and we can be what He wants us to be. It challenges us. In verse 7 there, He's challenging us to search for wisdom. And the place you search for wisdom is in His Word. It's not in your... I got to get away from Facebook. I mention it all the time because that's where people's minds seem to be. Or that other one that Facebook owns. What's that? Come on, young people. Snapchat. And what's that other one? Instagram. Y'all didn't know that, did you? See, I knew that. Facebook owns Instagram. You think they don't have a grip on us? They have a grip on us, folks. I mean, it's okay to have that technology, and we're going to use it for the better of the cause. But be careful, because Satan will use it and he will absolutely consume your soul, and you'll let the Bible down. You won't continue to read the Word and it won't have a chance to change your life. So he's saying to us, he's challenging us to get into the Word and get the wisdom from God. There's a lot of wisdom there. It's not from all your Facebook friends, okay? It's not going to come from there, even though you think it does. And sometimes I think it doesn't and I find out it's not true. But the words of God are right, they are pure, they change our lives. The words change our lives. And not just our young people, all of us need to get into the Word of God and read and study, because it has a cleansing effect. It does. You'll read it and you'll say, wow, that turned on a light bulb. You know, I never had seen that before. That turned on a light bulb. But you know what it's doing? It's cleaning you so that you can see. And he continues to do his cleansing. But look at verse, I'm going to go from 11, if you will, because verse 11 tells us how powerful, not only in all that it does, but how powerful the Word of God is. You say, well, you've already told me that it cleans up my life and it's good for my soul, so I'm taking it from that it's powerful, but I got to take you just a little deeper than that, okay? Because in verse 11, here's what he said. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Now you see, I'm getting outside the realm of it making your life better. I'm going in a different direction. It does make your life better. You will be enlightened to the things that God wants you to be. But it is also a warning for the wrong direction you're taking. And I would have loved to have been able to preach a 30-minute message to that young lady yesterday, but Walgreens wasn't the place to do it. But I do hope and pray that I get a chance someday to preach to her again or say anything to her again outside of Walgreens. But here's what's happened in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So you have two ways you can go there. Do you catch that? There's two roads. You got to take one, and you're going to take one. There, you can't stop in the middle of the road. You get run over. You're going to take one. You're either going to be warned and do something about it, or you're going to take care of the Word of God and you'll be rewarded greatly. So which way do you want to go? Do you want to be warned and not heed the warning? Because we know what God says about the person who is warned and does not heed the warning. Or are we going to read the Word, let it change our lives, and then be rewarded for what we do by faithfulness in this life down here? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Did David know that he had some problems in his life? Now, if there's a soul in here this morning that does not have a problem in your life, raise your hand. If there's no sin whatsoever in your life and there's no wrongs done, everything's good, everything's perfect in your life, you can raise your hand and I won't get one hand in here because there's not a one of us. David knew himself. David was a man after God's own heart. But he also knew in the power of repentance of his sin. He knew what he had to do with it. He said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Not only just the ones that we all know about, it's the ones that no one knows about. Because you see, no one's dealing with God on your behalf. You deal with God on your behalf. You're the one who's going to be responsible to be faithful to Him. You're the one who's going to be responsible to read His Word. The one who's responsible to go and talk to Him every once in a while. Just like you would love for your children or your grandchildren to come by and talk to you, he wants you to come by and talk to him. It's important that he does, that we do that. So he says here that he wants us to come and he talked to us because his word is powerful. It's going to convict you, according to verse 11. He says it will. It'll warn us. That means he's going to convict us. Here's a saying. I don't know who said this, but somebody did. The book, the word you have in your hand right now, the book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. Now, I know some of you have heard that before, but it's a very honest to the Lord truth that if you stay in the book, it'll keep you from the sin. But if you don't, then the opposite is true. Sin will keep you from the book, and it will. Verse 12, he talks about cleansing us. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. The blood of Christ was the radical cleansing for us. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood for the salvation of your soul, that was a radical cleansing. You needed radical cleansing. You didn't need your fingernails cleaned out. You didn't need, as my mama used to say, now wash behind your neck. You didn't need just to wash behind your neck. You didn't need to clean those feet. Now, kids today don't understand this. They all wear $100 tennis shoes. But back in my day, you had to clean your feet because every Saturday they got dirty. That's because the whole week you went without shoes. But I got good leathery bottoms. They're not as tough as they used to be, but they're there. But you see, we've got things to do, and we need cleansing. But the blood of Christ in our initial salvation was that radical cleansing. But did you know we need recurring cleansing? We need recurring cleansing. And the Word of God, that's why it's so important that we read the Word of God, because that's part of our recurring cleansing. Every day something goes on, happens in our life that we need help from. Now look at verse 13 and 14, if you will, because he says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression." It's there to correct me. I need correction. All of us need correction. You may have a hold on your life. Your job, you may be the best in the world at it. I hope you are. But we all need correction. I don't care how good we get in something. There are areas where we need to be corrected. We try to tell young athletes that all the time. Now, if you're going to get better, what do you got to do? You got to practice. What's the practice for? The practice is to correct your problems. But we can't get them to see that. Well, you know, some of us adults have not seen that according to our Christian lives either. That we have Christian problems and we need correction, and the place to get corrected is not at your mom and dad's house or your best friend's house. The place to get corrected is in His Word. Get to reading the Word of God. Let it grab hold of your life. I guarantee you, He'll correct you. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." There is an illustration of a young lady who went on a cruise, and she went up on the deck where the captain was, and she said, "Do you know where all the rocks are?" And he said, "No, but I know where all the deep water is." And I'm saying to you, you may not know where all the rocks are in your life, but the Word of God is the deep part. And if we stay in the deep part, we don't have to worry about the rocks. God's good. He is. Let's bow our heads. He has revealed Himself to us today. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. He's revealed Himself to us through creation. He's revealed Himself to us through His precious Word. And I just hope and pray today that when you leave here, you'll go outside looking up, and that you'll get into His Word daily, daily, because He says, "Day by day, I do this for you. I let the sun come up every morning. I shine in your life and take the shadows away. And I do it by my precious word also." So I want us to look up and see His creation, but I also want us to get into His Word and dig. Dig. Let Him speak to you through His Word. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful. Oh, we're so grateful because You're so good to us. And Lord, we live in a country where we're free to make a decision that Jesus Christ will be our Savior. And Lord, we live in a country where we know every week when we go to the house of God how important it is that we do something with that freedom. And Lord, I just pray that we do. I just pray that we do. If there's anyone in this congregation today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, oh God, I pray that today will be the day. I do. I pray that the decision will be made and we'll leave here knowing that you love us so much more. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.